I'm always happy to be here. I like talking about God and God's word, so it always helps me a lot. I hope it helps you guys too.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and get started. Before I get started, I want to tell you that I've been, I think it's called GERD. Got diagnosed with some issues with my throat, so just bear with me. But the title of tonight's lesson is called The Long Game. Now, one may be wondering, what in the world does that mean? I'm sure that you guys have heard the people say or the saying that one side is playing chess while the other side is playing checkers. And the one who's playing chess is playing the long game. Not to imply that God plays games, but even after reading Job 1, one could, an unlearned, uninformed person who doesn't know God may get that impression. But for those of us who know God, we know that everything that God does has a purpose.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to throw some things out here as we go through this lesson, just to hold on your mind. One of the things is we have been programmed to want instant everything. Long time ago, when it was Wells Fargo going across the West, it took a little bit before you could get your money. Now, press a few buttons, and poof, money in the pocket. The instant news cycle now. We could have something happen on the other side of the world. 10 seconds later, we're hearing about it.
Amen.
And we're being conditioned to start thinking like that. Entertainment. That's been around a long time. We want instant gratification for various parts of our life, like food, fast food. We want instant coffee, instant grits, instant everything. But this has been going on a long time, because before social media, and there was just TV. In fact, there were only three channels going way back. We could watch a movie, and it would take maybe an hour to go through a rags-to-riches story. And that conditioning has been there a long time to condition us into thinking that we're supposed to get not only what we want, but when we want it. And the wool has been pulled over people's eyes. So I want to lift a little wool tonight. That's okay. Let's start with a couple of things. First, there are laws on this planet that are here that no man can mess with, and they're God's laws. I'm just going to address two of them real quick. The law of reaping and sowing, and the law of gravity. And I see y'all thought Isaac Newton had that law of gravity thing, but that law of gravity was here long before Isaac got here. That's God's law. But the law of reaping and sowing. I could go out tomorrow and take a seed, say it's an orange seed, and press it into the soil and water it. And then the next day, I can go out there and pull some fruit off the tree, right? If you believe that, then there's going to be some guys coming through here with one of them funny-shaped jackets, and they're going to come take you away. That's not how this planet works. It's the long term. It's the long game. It's how God operates. Now, the law of gravity, that's one of the exceptions. It's on a different timeline, but it works just as good. Now, if you don't understand the law of gravity, well, you don't have to understand it, just know it works. If you don't believe it, just climb to the tallest building and jump off and scream, "I don't believe in the law of gravity," all the way down till impact. What if you don't like the law of gravity? It shouldn't work on you if you don't like it, right? So I don't like the law of gravity, so climb that same building, leap off, see how that works for you. What about a toddler or a baby who knows nothing about the law of gravity? Shouldn't work on him, right? So now you see these laws are here that are not to be messed with. The difference is the law of gravity works instantly. The law of reaping and sowing takes time, but they work just as good. The reason why people don't think the law of reaping and sowing works is because it's delayed. Biblical history shows us that God plays the long game. We're going to go through some things here in a minute, but I'm going to throw some things out there for you to hold into your head, just hold in your mind real quick. One of them is many are called, but few are chosen. If I was going to put a subtitle to this lesson, it would be that. Who are the chosen ones? So just hold that in your mind. That's Matthew 22:14. Many are called, few are chosen. Now, a lot of people think that the chosen is a specific group of people that are pre-picked, and there's nothing you can do about that. We're going to look through what the Bible says about the chosen, who they really are. Let's take a look at the story of Joseph. You know, it's funny because as I was listening to church, in the morning service, I noticed somebody mentioned Joseph. I forgot who it was, but I'm thinking, okay, I'm on the right track here. And later on, somebody mentioned Noah. So that might pop up too later. So the story of Joseph. Now, if you know anything about Joseph, that's a long story. And well, I don't think you guys want to be here till midnight like Paul did, so I'm going to have to use bullet points or we will be here till midnight. So, story of Joseph. Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. Joseph's brothers hated him. I want you to hold that word in your mind. It wasn't, I'm kind of mad at Joseph right now. You know, we're not getting along. No, they hated him. I'm going to show you how. Because on top of being the favorite of his father, Jacob, you remember Jacob made him that coat of many colors? Mm-hmm. So he'd stick out like a sore thumb. And his brothers they didn't like him too much. And also Joseph would have these dreams. And not only would he have these dreams, he could interpret dreams. We'll look into that a little bit too. And he had the nerve to share one of these dreams with his brothers. And he had the nerve to tell them that, hey, in my dream, you guys are going to be serving me someday. So, needless to say, they're not too happy with him. So, let's go through some of these bullet points. Joseph was the favorite of Jacob. He could interpret dreams. His brothers were so jealous of him and hated him that they wanted to kill him. In fact, they were going to kill him, except Reuben said, "Now wait a minute. He is our brother. we can't kill him. We'll just throw him in a ditch." And then they got the idea, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites that had been passing, they were passing by. So they sold Joseph into slavery to the Ishmaelites. Now, where were the Ishmaelites headed? To Egypt. Okay, now with all this going on, I want you to keep in mind that God was with Joseph all the way through his trials. So Joseph being sold into slavery, winds up in Egypt, and he winds up at Potiphar's house. And because Joseph, God was with Joseph, Potiphar's house prospered. Okay? Of course, where there's good, there's always evil. We know Paul talked about that. And in this case, it showed up in the form of Potiphar's wife. She kept trying to press Joseph to do some rotten things with her. And Joseph was not, he was not having it. And she kept pressing him so much to at one point, he just had to run out of his coat to get away from her. Now he's got his coat. Potiphar's wife is in possession of Joseph's coat. So she makes up this lie, saying Joseph tried to do something to her, and of course, you know, he winds up in jail. Okay? Now, while Joseph was in jail, he prospered. God was with him. Because while he was in jail, two particular people got put in jail too. Pharaoh's butler and the baker. Now, later on, the butler was released and restored to Pharaoh's house. I think the baker ended up getting his head chopped off. Now, Pharaoh starts having dreams. And he's sending for his dream interpreters and soothsayers, and he's like, hey, tell me what this dream means. And they're like, oh, we can't tell you. And Pharaoh is he's getting upset with his supposed people who know how to have this skill. And so the butler remembers, wait a second. There was a guy, because while they were in prison, while they were in prison, they had dreams also, and Joseph interpreted their dreams. And Joseph, hey, remember me, you know. Of course, he forgot about him. So now he's remembering, because now Pharaoh was having these dreams, and excuse me, and that no one can interpret these dreams. So the butler's like, oh yeah, Joseph, that guy Joseph. So Pharaoh says, okay, they send for him. They bring Joseph before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's like, hey, tell me this dream. What does it mean? Because he's having these recurring dreams. What does it mean? So Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams. And like I said, I can't get into all of it. If you want to know the whole story, there's a whole lot of things that are missing in this story that make it even more dynamic. Because the Pharaoh had these dreams about 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty, and he didn't know what that meant. Joseph explained it to him. And Pharaoh was so pleased, he said, we need to have somebody to put in charge for this time frame is when we have this famine. You know, we're gonna have 7 years of plenty first. And he's like, I know. How about you, Joseph? I'm gonna put you in charge of everything. So now, wait a minute, did I say God was with Joseph? Mm-hmm. So now Joseph is in charge of everything, and he's running everything in Egypt. Now, 7 years pass, and there's famine in the land. Now, wait a minute. Let me see. The name of this lesson, it's called The Long Game, right? Are we seeing how long this is taking and how everything has to happen and the dots have to connect to carry out God's plan? So now Joseph is in charge, and now the 7 years of plenty have passed. Now there's famine in the land. And guess who winds up moving to Egypt, to the land of Goshen? Joseph's family. Wish I had time, because Joseph had a little fun with his brothers when they were when they were going back and forth, getting goods and all that, and then they ended up coming there. There's a lot more to the story, but like I said, you know, unless you guys, well, do you guys, does midnight sound okay to you guys? Look at that, and then I figured that to be a no. So Joseph's family is now in Egypt. This is how the Israelites wound up in Egypt. This transpired with Joseph. This is how they wound up in Egypt, in the land of Goshen. Okay? Now, the Israelites, when they first got to Egypt, they had favor because of a certain pharaoh. But things change. Certain pharaohs come to power, and now, instead of having favor, they're put in bondage. And for 400 years, they wound up being in bondage in the land of Egypt. And 400 years later, God in his own time finally sends a deliverer by the name of Moses. Now, Moses, let's see, we got 400 years. Along comes Moses, and let me just tell you this part. Moses winds up in Midian. I'm going to have to fast forward some things because I have to cover some things. Moses winds up in Midian because while he was in Egypt, he ended up killing somebody. So he had to flee. Okay? He killed one of the Egyptians, and he had to take off. He had to get out of town, and he goes to Midian. And he was there for a while, long enough to take on a wife. Okay, now let's go over, let's get into some scripture here. Now let's go over to Exodus chapter 3. And let's take a look at Moses while he's in Midian. And let's see what transpires here. Verse 1 says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, I think I need to say it like this, Moses, Moses. Moses says, here I am, Lord. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Just give me a second. When I look at this, sometimes it just moves me. Verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jacob, Joseph's daddy. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and bring them up to the land, to a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression which the Egyptians have oppressed them. Come now therefore, I will send you, Moses, to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, verse 11 picks up, you know, Moses starts with the excuses about how he can't do it. That didn't work out too good for him either. It's pretty much, you're going, buddy, whether you like it or not. Okay, you're going. You've been picked and you're going. Now, Pharaoh didn't just say, okay, sure. You guys can go now. And matter of fact, Bruce did a good series of all the drama that happened before Israel was let go. So when they were finally released, after all that drama, they see, how long were they in the wilderness? 40 years? Are we talking about the long game? Now, remember I told you about many are called, but few are chosen? I want to throw something else out there with you, for you. And when the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So do we need to have some vision? If we want to be with God and play the long game, we got to have some vision. Because God is playing the long game. He's not the instant guy. So if we aren't playing or living the long game, should I say, we won't be one of the few that are chosen. And we will perish. Part of the long game is staying faithful. Now, we're going to get into how do we do this long game? How do we engage in this? What aids us in playing the long game? Well, there's an answer to that. Let's start out with faith. Faith in Hebrews 11 says this. Now, I know you all have never heard this before. This is all new stuff. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm going to give you a definition of substance. The definition of substance is the real physical. See, we read these scriptures 1,000 times before, but I want to drill down a little bit. The definition of substance is the real physical matter of which a person or a thing consists and which has tangible, solid presence. Another definition is a fundamental or characteristic part or quality. And one more says, ultimate reality that underlies all outward manifestations and change. And the last one says, physical material from which something is made or which has discrete existence. So faith, having all this substance, is not just something that's thrown out there. It's way deeper than what we realize sometimes, what faith is. It has substance. It's not just vapor passing through the air. And it goes on to say, it's a substance of things hoped for, but it's also the evidence of things not seen. I don't need to explain what evidence is to you guys. Y'all know what that is already. But it's the evidence of things that are not seen. So faith is a substance of things that's not here yet. But it has substance already. And the evidence of things that we can't see. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Let me illustrate. Let's run over to Genesis real quick. Let me see. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then what happened? God said. And as soon as he spoke, things started happening. Let me see, what did they say? The worlds were framed by the word of God. And that word became flesh and dwelt among us. That would be a whole other lesson I would love to get into. So So the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So what we see wasn't made by somebody we can see. We're talking about faith here. This is what is required to just to be even in the long game. It requires faith. So the things that are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So the things that we see, somebody put it here that we can't see. Requires faith. Now, Noah was one of the chosen ones because he played the long game. How long did it take Noah to build that ark? Oh, the Bible mentions 120 years. Can you imagine having your house built takes 120 years? Okay? And as the Bible says, they were partying, eating and drinking and marrying and having a great old time while Noah's out there sawing wood until it started raining. John 15, the reason why some people struggle with faith is because John kind of explains it in John 15, chapter 18. He says, if the world hates you, you know that, this is Jesus talking, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love its own. That's why the world don't love you. We get in the picture here. The world does not love you. It hates you. And Jesus goes on to say, you are not of the world, yet you are not of the world. Why? Because I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world is going to hate you. So, something we got to deal with. The reward is much better than dealing with a little bit of hate. Now, this is all very important because there's something that's getting ready to happen in all of our lives that is unavoidable. Hebrews 9:27, it says, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So we have this appointment with death. I'm not trying to be morbid, but it's on the calendar somewhere. Sometimes we act like that's never going to happen, but it's there, waiting. You're not getting out of this one. No rescheduling, no postponing, and we don't know where it is. We don't know when it is. We just know it's there. But that's not the part that's important. The part that's important is after this, there is judgment. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to what he has done, whether it be good or evil. So to be one of the chosen ones, we must play / live the long game. But before we can play or live the long game, we have to get in the game first. We used to tell people when they were kind of not informed or missing something, we would tell them, you know, get your mitt and get in the game. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. That's something we say a long time ago. So we're trying to get in the game. We are trying to get in this long game. How do we get in the long game so we can become one of the chosen few? Well, listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 16, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Now let's break this down just a little bit here. I'm running out of time, but I'm gonna pick up just a little bit more here. If anyone desires to come after me, it's implied that there's a desire, and a lot of people think they desire to be with Jesus. Most people do. If you ask people, you want to be with Jesus, you know, most, unless they're kind of crazy in the head, you know, hey, do you want to be with Jesus? Yep, sign me up. They're going to say, yes, I want to be with Jesus. But what he does, he puts a qualifier on this shit to see if you have real desire or not. Most people think they have desire until the first wall of resistance shows up and they fold like a lawn chair. So Jesus is saying, if you have that real desire, you have to deny yourself. Oh, I got to do all that? Yes. If you want to win the prize, if you want to get out of the land of instant where death is waiting for you and you want eternal life, you have to deny yourself. But there's more. He says you've got to deny yourself. Now you've got to take up your cross. Let me explain. Jesus, when they were giving him his mock trial, he was carrying that physical cross for a little bit, and then he couldn't do it, and then Joseph helped him out. But that's not the cross that he was carrying that matters to us. He was carrying a spiritual cross. That cross was loaded down with all the sin of mankind, past, present, and future. He bore that cross. It was so, he had to become sinful. It was so bad that God had to turn his face away. So we have to do the same thing. He tells us, you got to take up your cross. Now you see that cross that Jesus bore, we have to carry our little rinky-dink crosses too, the little struggle that we have throughout our lives. We, you know, nothing like what he did, but we have to bear our little bitty crosses too. He said, now once you do that, now you can come after me. You have to carry those burdens that's going to come with this. He said, for whatever desires, this is verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Then he asks the most important question I think there is. What would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? So God has a plan for us, doesn't he? He has a plan. Now, we were talking about the faith and all that substance and all that stuff that was going on there. Part of that getting into the long game is we need to acquire some faith. So how do we do that? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we have to acquire that faith. Now, we have the faith, but without that faith that we just acquired by hearing the word of God, well, if we're not clear that our job is to please God, we're in the wrong place. Okay, Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he rewards us for those who diligently seek him. Diligently. Yet, the dad's watching TV, says, son, I left my phone on the nightstand in my bed and bring it from, okay. He goes in there, I can't find it. Dad goes in there, sitting right where he said. That's half looking. This says, diligently seek him. Diligently seek God. And the seek implies it's not a one-time thing. It is a consistent thing that must continue on. Now we're going to wind down here. Luke 13:3, we must repent. Jesus said, unless you all repent, you will likewise perish. Now, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. God lists all works repentance, but it's more than that. That's just the beginning stages of it. Repentance, the godly sorrow, makes you stop walking in the wrong direction. It makes you turn around, and it makes you start walking in the right direction. That's true repentance. Mm-hmm. Now, Matthew 10:32 says, whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. You deny me, I deny you. Now, I'm almost done here. Just bear with me, but I need to point out something that's very important. Jesus said you need to confess me before men. Now let's go back to that fake mock trial that Jesus had when they're pressuring him, asking him all these questions. He's just kind of sitting there not saying nothing. And they kept pressing him until finally he answered. He said, they were asking if he was the Son of God. And then finally he says, you have said it. Let me see if I can make this as clear as I can. That confession brought death to Christ. But that same confession brings life to us. Mm-hmm. Confessing Jesus before men. Then we got to be baptized. I'll just say this. Any conversion in the Bible, don't take my word for it, check yourself. There's no conversion in the Bible that you can find where there wasn't a baptism. Mark 16, 16 says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And finally, we stay faithful unto death. It says, be faithful unto death and you'll receive the crown of life. Now, are we going to have tribulation on this trip? Of course we are. Remember, we have an adversary. But when we play the long game and stay faithful unto death, then we will receive the crown of life. Lesson is yours. I'm looking out in the audience here. I think most people here have already been baptized believers. Maybe some by via live stream that haven't never heard this, or you're looking to actually be obedient to the gospel. If that's so, give us a call. We'll help you facilitate that. If you find yourself a guilty distance from God, then you can repent. We're going to stand and do an invitation here in just a second, and we're going to sing an invitation song. Also, if you need prayer, now would be the time to do it. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So, with these thoughts in mind, let us be standing. Let's go ahead and get our invitation song.